Good morning, everyone that is tuning in with us, Cornerstone Church. It is great to be with you again, or great to be seen by you. I'm not really with you, although I'm with you in spirit. But I'm so grateful to everyone who's decided to live stream with us. We are just grateful for your support. We're grateful for this church body. We're grateful for everybody that isn't necessarily part of Cornerstone, but is tuning in with us. So, man, what a week it's been, right? This is, I think, the third time we've had to live stream just sort of me and the sound crew and the singers. And I'm just so grateful for the sound crew. I'm so grateful for the singers and everybody that has decided to come and give of their talents to God and to try to create a worship environment, even online, that can be somewhat similar to what we normally do when we're all together. But how was your week? What was your week like? I've got a couple images here, and I don't know if this will resonate with some of you, but I think some of these images can describe sort of how my week has been. So the first image we've got today is this. You know, a lot of us are having to become our own barbers, and I promised you guys last week that by this time I would have my hair cut, and here it is. You know, here I am. Got the clippers, went ahead and did it, and man, thank God for my wife, Natasha. Because this is the first time I'd ever cut my own hair. And you would think, as simple as it is, that I would have done this before. But the truth is, I never have. And so I was so grateful to have her to help me see the blind spots, to see the spots I just couldn't see. And so, you know, to make sure it looked good all around. But just in case, I'm not going to turn around, just in case it wasn't perfect. But no, I know she did an awesome job, and I'm really, really grateful for her. Love you, honey. But yeah, a lot of us, we're going to come, when we do come back, it's going to be some interesting sights to see if you don't have hair like me, and maybe this image shows how it has been going for you trying to cut your own hair. What about this image? So, all of a sudden, just like that, prayer and spankings are back in school, you know. Man, how's the digital learning going for everybody out there? I've told people this week when they've asked, you know, sort of how's your family doing? I said the greatest family challenge has been just figuring out this digital learning and getting a rhythm for when we want to do what. But I'm really grateful. I will say Noella's been doing awesome as we've been working with her, and I'm so proud of her hard work. So proud of Natasha working with her and me working with her as well. And so, but maybe this describes your week. You know, one thing I do imagine is that moving forward, teachers will never be unappreciated again. Amen. You know, I know a lot of times teachers, and I've been one before, you can feel like, man, the world just doesn't appreciate what we do. But I can tell you, after this time of quarantine and parents trying to help their kids with digital learning, we appreciate you more than ever. So when it's time for you to put together your fall supply list, you need to, this is the time, you know, this is the time to ask for anything you've ever wanted, all the stuff you've ever needed. Trust me, we will gladly give you all the supplies that you need in the fall. But so, you know, getting adjusted to being my own barber and getting adjusted to doing homeschool with my daughter, those are things that definitely were on my mind this week. But the image I want to show that I feel like really, really encapsulates what I saw and what I felt this week is this. I just feel like it has been so amazing to see people just extending their hearts, reaching out their hands to try to help and to try to take care of other people. You've probably seen this too. I mean, just some of the things that maybe your neighbors have been doing or your friends or things you've just heard about or read on the news. I think for me, the overwhelming word that I'd like to say describes the week that I had would be the word kindness. As a matter of fact, I'm not just going to boil it down to one word, but to two words: extraordinary kindness. I want to read over in Acts chapter 28 a story that really, to me, teaches about the importance of kindness. Just simple acts of kindness and thoughtfulness and how it can go a long, long way. So as you turn over to Acts chapter 28, I want to give you a little bit of background here. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, he had been arrested in Jerusalem, and he had been under guard for several years. And he finally, he appealed to Caesar. He appealed his court case to Caesar. And so he was on his way with some other Roman soldiers and some other prisoners. And while they were on their way, a lot of hijinks ensued. And ultimately, they became shipwrecked on this island, on the side of this island. And while they were shipwrecked, actually the commander at that time basically said, or some of the soldiers at that time said, hey, we need to kill these prisoners. Because if any of them escape, that's our head. You might remember from last week when I was talking about the Philippian jailer and the idea that if his charges got away, he was going to suffer their fate. And so the sort of same thing, the soldiers say, hey, we need to just kill the prisoners so that none of them escape because we don't want it to be our head. And the commander said, no, because he wanted to spare Paul's life, because of the example he had seen of Paul and the faith perhaps he had seen of Paul and the example and the idea of who Paul was, you know, the reality of who Paul was, he said, no, we need to save this guy's life. And so he commanded, he said, no, everybody that can swim to shore, when the shipwreck happened, everybody that can swim to shore, just swim. And anybody that can't swim, get on pieces of driftwood and float out to this island that we've run aground on. And so that's where we're going to pick up right here in Acts chapter 28. Read with me. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, once safely ashore, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The local people showed us extraordinary kindness. They lit a fire and took us all in since it was raining and cold. As Paul gathered a bundle of brushwood and put it on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. When the local people saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to one another, this man no doubt is a murderer. Even though he has escaped the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. But he shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no harm. They expected that he would begin to swell up or suddenly drop dead. After they waited a long time and saw nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Now in the area around that place was an estate belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. Publius's father was in bed suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went to him and praying and laying his hands on him, he healed him. After this, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. So they heaped many honors on us, and when we sailed, they gave us what we needed. After 3 months, we set sail in an Alexandrian ship that had wintered at the island. And so, when you look at this story, we're going to be able to see that there are several sort of what I would consider small acts of kindness that went a long way. And so, when you think of the word kindness, what comes to your mind? Love? Is it warmth? Is it hospitality? Is it a smile or a hug, which we're not able to do right now? We can do a smile, not a hug, not too many hugs, unless it's your family. Is it a handshake? What comes to your mind when you think of kindness? Well, after studying out this story, actually the word that comes to mind to me is philanthropy. Philanthropy, Fenton, what does philanthropy have to do? You know, because when we think of a philanthropist, generally we think, okay, a really rich person that gives money to some cause. And this person knows that they're not going to get anything in return. But actually, the Greek word here, when it says in verse 2 that the islanders showed them unusual or extraordinary kindness, is the word philanthropia in Greek. And what that word means is a love for mankind. It said when the islanders showed an unusual or an extraordinary love for mankind, they were blown away by it. And matter of fact, this little island Malta, if you go look on it at a map, it's a very small island in the Mediterranean, but it is actually known, even now, even today, for having a people that are extremely generous and are extremely kind. And I think a lot of this can go all the way back to the story that we read today. So I've got 3 points for you today about love for mankind. Strangers' love for mankind, disciples' love for mankind, and God's love for mankind. So point number one, strangers' love for mankind. First part of this story, and you can sort of imagine, if you will, or I want you to imagine, if you will, the islanders, you know, they're getting up for their morning, the fishermen and farmers are getting up for their morning rounds, and they see this ship going by, and the ship crashes. And then it's getting beaten by the waves, and it's cold, and it's raining, and suddenly they see people jumping off the ship, and you can imagine sort of what was going through their minds. Maybe some of them were afraid. Like, who are these people? What's going on? Maybe some of them were worried about, what does this mean? Maybe some of them thought, oh man, we need to help. And I love the fact that ultimately the overwhelming sentiment that prevailed was this idea that we need to help. And so you can imagine some of the fishermen going out in their boats to get the people that couldn't swim or, you know, and all these different things they were doing to help. And ultimately they decide we need to strike up a big fire, a big bonfire to warm these people. And so they put together this fire. For me, again, this is their first show of their love for mankind. They make a fire for these strangers that had landed on their shores. When you think about history, what often happens when somebody comes to an unknown island, it doesn't often go well for one of the two groups. Right. Even I think just last year, the year before, there was some guy, he was a missionary, and he was trying to go to some place where they said, we don't welcome visitors. We don't want disease. We don't want outside germs. And they said it's basically prohibited to come on our shores without getting permission first. And this guy said, I'm going to go anyway. And they shot him with arrows and he was killed. I mean, even in the 21st century, we still have stories of that. But you see here in this story, and what happened here is they decided to show unusual kindness and they build a fire. And not only that, the chief guy on the island decides to host Paul and some of his friends for 3 days, has them as their guests. And then we learn at the end of the story that these prisoners and these sailors and soldiers, they were there on this island for 3 months. You talk about unusual kindness or stranger's love for mankind. And the thing I really, really love about this story, these people are not Christians. These people are not disciples of Jesus. The Holy Spirit still saw fit to put in the word this story about some people that weren't even necessarily followers of God. That decided to show great love and great kindness to these prisoners, to these sailors, and to these soldiers. And so when I think about this story, it really does encourage me and inspire me. Because right now, let's be honest, it is definitely a time when a lot of people out there are cynical. I mean, when you think about what's going on in the world, a lot of us have probably had this idea that, man, it's just so messed up. And all the thoughts that go through your head, man, somebody created this virus on purpose. Why in the world would some idiot eat a bat? Man, look at this, all the hoarding that's been going on at stores and the price gouging and people that you heard about that one guy that he had all these things, all these containers of hand sanitizer and he was jacking up the price. Yeah. Or the people that are just hoarding toilet paper. Did you hear about the stimulus package they finally passed? Oh, man, you know, the Republicans only seemed to want to look out for the corporations. And the Dems wouldn't sign off until they put a bunch of pork in there. I mean, it is so easy right now to just be super cynical about what's going on. But I would like to put before you that not only in biblical times, but even today, we are seeing strangers love for mankind. Did you see the video of all the people in Atlanta coming out of their apartments that were clapping outside the hospital when the shift changes occur? They come out and they do this every day when the shift changes are happening. They start clapping for all the nurses and doctors that are putting their lives on the line to help people. Did you see the video of the folks in Italy singing from their balconies while under quarantine, still trying to connect and sing and have some jolly moments together? Amen. What about the Chinese doctors that after a couple of months or some really crazy weeks trying to fight this virus in their own country, they decided to go to Italy and help and teach the lessons they'd learned. Strangers' love for mankind. What about that Chinese billionaire that has been donating masks and supplies and all sorts of and test kits to a lot of countries in Africa? Talking about philanthropists. Or maybe you heard when I talked about last week, the school's parades, you know, the teachers going by. I got to experience that personally this week. My daughter's school, her teachers, they all got in cars and they came around yesterday and they were honking the horns and they had balloons and the mascot from the school and just people showing a love for mankind. So while it is very easy to be tempted to be cynical, I want you to think about the fact that there is good going on. Yes, Jesus did say that. No one is good but God alone. But humans, while they are capable of terrible depths, they are also capable of great heights and great good.
That's right.
I mean, think about some of the good that you've been hearing about going on. Think about these strangers' love from people helping out folks they don't know. People trying to do good in the world in what is a very, very dark time for our generation. That even people that aren't Christians, even people that don't have a relationship with God, are still doing some good. I hope that restores a little bit of your faith in mankind, a little bit of your faith in humanity. Now, just doing it, we know we can't get to heaven just by doing good works. Nobody's going to be able to earn it, right? Jesus wouldn't have had to die if we could just get to heaven by being good. But it should really amaze us. It should really inspire and encourage us when we look around at what is going on, that there is a lot of good being done because of extraordinary kindness in people's hearts, because of unusual kindness in their soul, because of strangers' love for mankind. I hope this story inspires you. You know, it makes me think back to, remember Blockbuster? Here there's only like one Blockbuster left open in the world, up in Oregon or Washington State or something like that. But, you know, they used to rent movies for the teens out there. I know you don't know what this is. You might have to look it up on the internet. But you had to actually go into the store to rent a movie. And on all of the VHSs, okay, there were these big boxy, you know, big boxy things that we had to put in the VCR. They always had this slogan on the front of them. You guys remember what that slogan was? Be kind, please rewind. And the reason that message was on there was because, you know, a lot of folks would just watch the movie, take it out afterwards, put it back in its case, and take it back. And then some 16-year-old, 17-year-old worker there had to go and rewind all the unwound movies. Now, eventually have these machines you could put it in, and it would rewind it for you. But again, just think about having to put it in the, before that, they had to put it in the VCR and hit rewind until it was always there. And so the point was, if all of these individuals that rented movies would just do it themselves, you would save somebody a lot of trouble. And I think the same lesson is true today. As individuals, if we can all find ways to be kind, to please rewind in our lives, right? The same way that I'm sure several soldiers were helping to gather firewood and the fishers and the farmers came to help those soldiers that were in the ocean. They were trying to find ways to show some love for mankind. Great things happened. And I think the exact same thing can be true today. So please get a little bit of faith in humanity. We will come through this, and it's going to be so awesome. Think about the books that are going to be written, the videos that are going to be shown after this about all the philanthropy that it occurred. And I'd like to put before you that we can all be philanthropists because we all have the opportunity to show love to mankind. Second point, the disciples' love for mankind. I love the fact that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a guy that had trained at the feet of Gamaliel, he was a big shot in Judaism, you know, before that. And he had preached to crowds, and he had done a lot of amazing things. He could do miracles, right? And what is he doing after this ship crashes? He's helping to gather firewood. This is a whole nother sermon, but for all the ministers out there, what job do you think that you're too big shot or too good to do? Because Paul was gathering brushwood and gathering firewood with everybody else, right? Even though he was an apostle of Jesus. But look at the idea of Paul was helping. He wasn't just sitting on the sidelines as a spectator. He wasn't just a seat filler. I've told this story before about, you know, going to that award show, NFL Honors, and they've got these people that they call, they're literally called seat fillers, and they usually hire, I don't know if they hire, they get volunteer, but it's usually a bunch of college students, and they get dressed up, and anytime somebody that's in the crowd has to get up and go to the restroom, or they're going to get up and go on stage, these seat fillers run and sit in their seat, so that whenever the camera pans across the stadium, all the seats are filled. Now, right now, that cannot happen for us because, you know, what's going on here right now. But Paul was not just being a seat filler. Paul was helping. He was being engaged. And I think it comes for, again, this idea that he was going to be a helper. He had a love for mankind. And not only that, but Paul is helping. And while he's helping, something bad happens to him. He's trying to do a good thing. He's trying to help out, and he gets bit by a snake. And it's like, you know, right now, I just want to say this to you. There is nothing out there that is going to say that we won't maybe get bit by some snakes during this time. I've just heard stories of people having to take huge pay cuts or being furloughed or even losing jobs, right? I mean, it is just the reality of what's going on. And so the thing is, God promises to bring us through it.
That's right.
Not that we won't get snake bit. You know, this story, when Paul gets bitten and then he survives, it echoes back to what Jesus had predicted in Mark chapter 16 and verse 18, that they'll pick up snakes or get bit by snakes and they won't suffer any harm. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't promise they wouldn't get bit by snakes. He promised that they would come through it unharmed. And so I think in the same way, while we're out trying to show love for mankind, right, even when things may happen that aren't fun or when things may happen that you weren't looking forward to or you didn't maybe expect, let's remember that God is still able to bring us through it. And it's so interesting when you think about this story. I was just thinking about how fickle humanity can be, though, in their positions about things. I mean, one moment they're like, this man, you know, he must be a murderer or a criminal because he survived the sea wreck. And as soon as he gets on the shore, he gets bit by this viper. Mm-hmm. You can imagine the natives kind of looking over. It says they were waiting on him to swell up or drop dead. So everybody's still collecting firewood, and then maybe they're warming themselves and, you know, kind of looking over. All right, is this guy going to die? I mean, what? And they're kind of looking, and all right, well, he's not swelling up, but maybe he's just going to fall out. Mm-hmm. And eventually, when they realize that he's not going to die, he didn't suffer any harm, they turn around and say he was a god. So they went from this guy was a murderer to he must be a god. And I think this is why it's so important as Christians. We have to be grounded in the Word. We can't be grounded in our emotions. A lot of times we can't even trust what we see with our own eyes sometimes, right? Our truth has to be God's truth, which comes from the Word, which comes by His Spirit, right? Because our emotions are going to take us all over the place. Our situations are going to take us all over the place. But when we're grounded in God's Word, when we trust that God is who He says He is, we know that even when we may get snake bit, we're going to come through it. But not only is Paul helping out here, he gets invited to this guy Publius' house, and he finds out that his father has dysentery. And in the text, it said he was suffering from a fever. The Greek word there is actually plural. It really means fevers. And so think about this. For Publius to be the chief on the island, he had to at least be 40 years old. And in the ancient world, if you weren't 40, I mean, you just were still considered young. And so if he's 40, that means his father has to be 60 or 70, which in the ancient world, that's ancient. That's living a very long time. And this man is suffering from fevers and dysentery, which means he's got to keep running to the restroom over and over again. That's what that means. And so this guy is truly suffering, and Paul hears about it and says, I actually can help with this situation. And he goes, and I love that the text shows he doesn't just rely on his own power or the fact that he has the title of apostle. He still prays to God for God to intervene, lays his hands on the man, and the guy is healed. Because of the disciples' love for mankind, Paul was a helper. He was helping in the ways that he could. And so because of that, everybody in the island hears about it, and they start bringing in all their sick on cots and on mats, and they're bringing them all there while Paul's there for that 3 days. And it says, you know, afterwards they honored us. And so Luke is pointing out the fact that he was there amongst, you know, Paul's traveling companions. He was there in the house. And I like to imagine so many people were coming that, sure, Paul was probably laying his hands on people and praying, but Luke, as a doctor, was also helping out. He said they honored us. And so between the spiritual cures that were going on and Luke's medical knowledge, they were really able to help out this entire island.
Awesome.
I want to give a special shout out to all of our nurses and doctors and EMTs, you know, Heidi and Tiffany and Shayla and Fabian, you know, all these folks that we know are on the front lines. And if I miss somebody in our congregation, please forgive me. I know there are tons of you out there on the front lines that are EMTs or doctors or nurses, just clinics, all of our teachers, all the people that are on the front lines right now doing what they can the same way that Paul and Luke were.
Yeah.
And I believe it is out of a love for mankind. Think about some specific examples this week that I saw or I heard about of disciples' love for mankind. So, you know, it was just so encouraging. I had a really good talk with Byron. And I'm going to be honest. Like I said, it's easy to, in point one, it's easy to get cynical sometimes. And Wednesday, you know, this week, I just had a day where I was just struggling. I was just down. I just felt overwhelmed with what was going on in the world. And I just had a bad day. You know, I just had a bad day. And Thursday I was able to kind of get out of it. I cut my grass, cut my hair, and was able to get out of it. But, you know, I called Byron on Friday, and we were talking, and I was just kind of telling him about my week. And, man, he just really encouraged me with some great things that are going on. He was telling me about how he'd gone over to Will Ferrell's house, not the actor, I remember here, and keeping his social distance, he just sat in a chair outside Will's house. You know, Will sat in a chair up near the porch, and he said they just talked for like 2 hours. And really just got to know each other. He really just got to encourage Will in a really great way. And I thought, man, that is out of Byron's love for mankind. If you could come up here and see all of the food that, and toilet paper even, that people have been bringing up here to help out. For our members, if you have a need, please let us know. We've got stuff that can be delivered to you. Amen. It's because of disciples' love for mankind. I've been hearing about all the life groups doing things like having Zoom meetings just so they can stay connected, or just different ways that people have been going out there and trying to serve other people. And I think it's because of disciples' love for mankind. And so what I'd like to really encourage us to do is, if we're not in the game, because it's one thing to hear about these things going on, and it's another thing to be a part of it. See, you know, I had just heard about or seen pictures of other schools doing the parade for their students. But then when it happened for Noel School and we got to go and sit at the bottom of the driveway and wave and cheer and say, we love you and we thank you to all the teachers, I just thought, man, this is awesome being a part of it. And it was sort of the same way this week. One of the times I went to the grocery store because I've been trying to buy groceries for my parents and for, you know, myself, ourselves and other people. This one time I went and there was this older woman at the grocery store. And I just, you know, I just saw her and I got sad. I said, why didn't she have, you know, family or neighbors in her house that said, look, I'll go to the store for you. And maybe it's not, you know, because they're just bad. Maybe they just live far. Maybe they live in another state. Or maybe, you know, she lives in a house that's far back from the road and she doesn't know her neighbors. I mean, there's a lot of explanations for it. But I said, man, this is what I'm going to do. So when we both walked out of the store, I went and I got one of my business cards. I said, ma'am, hey, my name is Fenton. I'm a minister. Our church is not meeting physically right now. I'm not meeting with individuals. I've got a lot more time than I normally have. Here's my number. Next time, when you need groceries, let me go for you. I would love to go for you. Her name was Tanya, this older lady, Miss Tanya. And I just thought, man, it is amazing to be in the game, to not just hear about it, but to be able to show unusual kindness, extraordinary kindness, and our love for mankind. It, like I said, it's so great to see all the stuff that people have brought up here. You know, even toilet paper, which most of the times I've been to the store, it's just not there. And so some folks have sacrificed or gotten up early or taken the extra rolls they have and come up here. I saw a meme this week. I thought it was so hilarious. It was like half of the toilet roll was down, and it was like, we're halfway there. And then they just had one square left and it said, oh, living on a square. You know, I think that's kind of what it's like out there. But to see that because of folks' love for mankind, they're coming and even bringing the rarest things, Lysol and bleach and toilet paper. You know, it's amazing to see disciples' love for mankind. And I think, you know, we really do have to be the type of folks that are setting an example, really leading the charge in our philanthropy, in our love for mankind, in our unusual kindness. Jesus told the disciples, look, your righteousness needs to exceed that of the Pharisees. Right. You know, you think they're pretty strict, and it's not about being legalistic, but that word righteousness, it means justice. It means how you deal with people. How you deal with people needs to exceed the way the Pharisees deal with people. Is what disciples need to be doing. And finally, and I think the most salient point of all this, the reason for, I think, even strangers' love for mankind, and definitely I think the reason for disciples' love for mankind needs to be because of God's love for mankind. The Bible talks about how we love because he first loved us. This is why we do it. Read with me, if you will, over in Titus chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 in Titus chapter 3. Starting verse 1, it says, remind them to submit to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to slander no one, to avoid fighting, and to be kind, always showing gentleness to all people. For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, his philanthropia appeared, he saved us. Not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out his Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. Love this verse. When Paul's giving Titus this charge on the island of Crete on how they need to behave, he says, hey, remind everybody to be subject to authority and to the rulers. You know, we're doing our best to respect the laws and the ordinances that are coming out with our social distancing and with our limiting our number of people. So I'm so grateful for you all tuning in with your family, you know, deciding to tune in with us. For those of you who are out there still trying to figure out ways to get things to people that they need, but we are trying to submit to the authorities. But I love when Paul writes, you know, we too were once this way. You know, it's when you see some of the people fighting over stuff in stores, or you see the evil that is still going on in some places of the world, or when you have just doubts about the goodness of people, Paul says, hey, remember, we too were once that way. Yeah. We too were once that way. And what I'd like to put before you is that during this time, brothers and sisters, it is going to be so tempting, but we cannot go back to those things. It is going to be so tempting. You're home a lot. You're to get easily angered with those you love. It's going to be tempting to be yelling and screaming at your spouse, your kids, or your roommates. That's right. In these closed corners. It's going to be tempting to look at junk on the internet you shouldn't. I mean, we're just home. We're in front of our computers a lot more. And so, you know, it's going to be tempting. You're up late at night. You're watching something. And it's going to be tempting to click on something you shouldn't. I need to self-medicate myself with some sin because I'm feeling bad. It's going to be a temptation right now. We've got to deny ourselves. It's going to be tempting to be just selfish, right? And so we've got to deny ourselves that. It's going to be tempting to drink more. It's so crazy. So they're closing down. You know, this weekend they decided, you know, Gwinnett's on a stay-at-home order. But one of the businesses that's considered essential are the alcohol salesmen or the alcohol selling places. So not churches, not barbershops where we can get our hair done. But alcohol is essential during this time. It's going to be tempting. It's going to be tempting to overdrink during this time. But because of God's love for mankind, let us deny ourselves these things. Yes. Think about the example of Jesus. I love when it talks about that God saved us. And the way that God saved us was through giving us a Savior, through giving us Jesus. And I saw something this week from the Bend Church, the leader there, his name is Joey. He did this devotional and it really, really impacted me. He talked about how Jesus was fine and actually committed to having times in solitude, but not isolation. There's a difference between solitude and isolation. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between being alone. There were times when Jesus needed to get away and get alone to be able to spend time with God. There's a difference between alone and lonely. Right. There's a difference between distance. Right now, we've got to keep our distance. There's a difference between distance and disconnection. We don't have to be disconnected. And so when I think about Jesus' example over in Mark chapter 1, he had spent all day healing people. I mean, that's why it's so amazing to see Paul is still doing what Jesus did, right, years later. He spent all day healing people. After he had healed Peter's mother, they come. Everybody comes to the house, and he spends the entire day healing, all through the night. So I'm sure he gets maybe a couple hours of sleep. And what does he do? The next morning, he gets up early, and he goes out to a remote place to pray. And so, again, I'd like to put before us, solitude is fine. Times of being alone are fine. Keeping our distance is fine, but let's not be isolated. Let's not allow ourselves to feel, to be lonely. Let's not be disconnected during this time, because that's not who our Savior was. It's interesting. I saw something Abby Lane posted. I thought it was pretty funny. She said, you know, it's really ironic that our theme this year is home, and now everybody is at home. And I kind of laughed, and I said, so Abby, are you saying that it's my fault? You know, this theme we picked, you know? But I think during this time, right, the same way that we need to show God's love for mankind when we're out and about, let's show that in our homes, and let's let God's love for us motivate us and move us to be the disciples we need to be at home. Think about the fact that the Father was willing to give up the Son, who after he died and rose again and went to heaven, he poured out the Spirit so that he could be with us at all times. I think about the fact that, you know, God is outside of time. And so what does that mean? That means that to God, it's like all one long day. So it's like, again, to him, it's almost like the crucifixion just happened. How can God have such great love for us? Because he can vividly see what happened to Jesus. It's like it just happened because he's outside of time. And because of his great love for us, he was willing to sacrifice his Son. God is going to take care of us. I love how it says he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It was amazing a couple weeks ago to see Lucy get baptized. I know there are several people that are studying the Bible right now at a distance. We're doing virtual studies with people. And I'm sure there are some people that are going to make the decision to make Jesus Lord. And it says, this is the method by which he saved us. He gave a Savior. And when you believe, repent, and get baptized, you get the washing of regeneration and you get the renewal of the Holy Spirit. You see, Lysol is able to kill up to 99% of germs, but the blood of Jesus kills 100% of sins. Amen. And so when we focus on, man, this is the why. God's love for mankind. God wanted to save us. Paul told Titus, stress these things so that God's people can be, those who have believed God can be devoted to good works. So in a moment, you're about to take communion in your homes. I want you to think about, man, there is good going on in the world. Don't lose your faith in humanity, right? That strangers are showing love for mankind, right? And as disciples, we need to be showing our love for mankind. How can we be devoted to good works? But ultimately, it is motivated because of God's love for mankind, that he was willing to let his Son die a brutal death on a cross in our place. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for our communion. And then afterwards, we're going to have one more commercial from Kit. The books came in, so we've got the books. We're going to be doing 40 days of prayer. I'm so excited that as a congregation, we're going to be able to do this. And it's going to be a great time to really unify us, even when we're separated. But let's be thinking about philanthropy, unusual kindness, remarkable kindness, extraordinary kindness, right? Strangers' love for mankind, disciples' love for mankind, and God's love for mankind. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day, for this time to pray. Thank you for how much you love us. How you poured out the Holy Spirit for every person that has decided to follow you, right? They get their own little mini Pentecost where the Spirit is poured into their soul. God, I thank you so much for that we are never alone because your Spirit is with us everywhere we go. And God, I just thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I thank you for his body that was broken for us. Let us remember that as we take the bread. God, I thank you for his blood that was spilled out on the cross for us. Because of your great love for us, I pray that as we take the fruit of the vine, we remember that. So thank you for all that you're doing in the world. I want to pray for the world. God, I pray that you will strengthen our immune systems as a species. I pray that we will defeat this virus. We'll beat it, God. Please be with the doctors and all the researchers that are trying to find vaccines and a cure and different ways to help us get healthier. Please, God, help us to respect the need for social distancing right now. But as I said earlier, God, that we will, even though we may have times of solitude, we won't be isolated. And even though we have times of distance, we won't be disconnected from you or disconnected from our brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you will do. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.